So we've been saying we're going to do this for ages.
Years.
Look, I mean,
decades, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Because
I'm pretty sure I remember the year 1976.
Well, it was a good year. Actually, it sounds like you've been reading our Froth interview. which I know, no, that started in the 1940s. But we have been saying we were going to do this for years, and we never really got around to it. Then you were double booked, and then I got conscripted, of course.
Yes.
And then that.
Then there was Armageddon.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We had to get through that.
And then Armageddon 2, where Bruce Willis comes back to life. And it just
Ben Affleck was really sad in that movie. I don't know why.
Affleck.
Yeah, sad Affleck.
But I guess we should get on with what we're actually doing. Hello, good people, and welcome to this is episode 6 of season 7. And as I say every week, we have way too many seasons.
I think you're ahead of The Walking Dead now. That's pretty impressive.
Well, and I just like the idea that being ahead of The Walking Dead is just such a weird metaphor in itself.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're going to flip that around, I've never seen The Walking Dead. I assume they're fast zombies as opposed to slow zombies like, say, Shaun of the Dead.
No, they're slow zombies. They're traditional slow zombies in Walking Dead.
Okay.
As we will be at the end of this, I think.
I suspect so, because today is something a little bit special. Obviously, we're the Brunswick Big Collective. I'm Chris Shorten, with me is Ben Wilson.
Hello there.
I didn't even call him a guest host this time
around. Just Ben Wilson this time.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, man.
Yeah, what's my status?
And with me is James Davidson.
G'day.
And James is from Bright Brewery, and I mean this mostly because you might have heard in the the attempt at a cold open that we've been trying to do like this thing where James, as well as being the czar of all things Bright Brewery in,
I enjoy that title, thank you very much,
in the city of Bright. Of course, you realize the czars all got killed at one point, but let's not bring that up. So at Bright Brewery in Bright. And he also does his own podcast.
Yes, which we don't tell anyone about, but that's true.
That called Not Too Bright. So, what we had planned around last year, I think it was after Gabs last year?
No, I think it was actually this exact time last year.
No way.
Because it was the same festival that I was down here for this weekend, the Melbourne Beer Fest.
Because that would have been the one that we would have ignored because we'd already been in Geelong 2 years, 2 weeks before.
Correct. And this exact same day we were going to try and do it, but now it all fell apart.
Yeah, because of the war.
Because of the war.
So it all fell apart, and so then when James emailed again and said,
Gabs was the second time we tried to do it.
Oh, that's right, and then I saw you at Gabs, and I was really apologetic, and then I ran off to a Ferris wheel, which I feel it was the best part of Gabs, I'll say that before.
I hear it's coming back.
That's what that's I hear as well.
Twice the speed, hopefully.
I don't know if we can handle twice the speed.
Yeah.
Although I do have distinct memories of them. I feel like everyone has a slight different recollection of that Ferris wheel. And mine seems to be the most vivid of just me sort of grabbing people as I ran over to it.
Well, our Brightberry stand was right underneath that festival, and we were placing bets on how long it would be before some sort of liquids came down on our head, whether it was bodily liquids or liquids from a tasting cup. Right. Thankfully, we stayed dry the whole Gabs festival.
Yeah, but that's because you guys had umbrellas.
We did, yes.
Like individual personal ones.
We actually had hazmat suits.
Yeah. I mean, it's very important at a beer festival. I mean, I've always said you need hazmat suits.
That's a great idea. I'm going to go to Gabs in a hazmat suit this year. That's fantastic.
You heard it here first, people. So, in the interest of, you know how that, you know, like, obviously we, as in the Brunswick Beer Collective, did a collaboration beer last year. I'd love you guys to track it down, except for the fact that it doesn't exist anymore. But in the spirit of that,
I hear it was 201 in the hottest 100 beers.
That's the rumor that we're sticking with.
That's fine. It's higher than any of the Bright Brewery beers. So, well done.
No, the thing is, we don't know who starts these rumors, and you know, they're just things that I hear.
I'm pretty sure I just started that one just then. So, I'll let you know. I started that one just then.
Donald Trump, if you'd like to get in on this, if you could just tweet that for us. Then that will, it feels like it'll be fact. Or Breitbart, if you can listen to that, get onto this as well. But back to collaborations. So now we're going to do a collaboration podcast. So the idea will be, assuming we can get away with this, and assuming that one of us hasn't passed out before the end of this mammoth session, is we're going to record us, and as a BBC, we tend to do a lot of bullshit. Hi to all of our regular listeners who already knew that. And then, you'll hear the last tram run, and then you can go straight across and continue whatever bullshit that we've been going in a slightly different venue, which will be the same venue, but with different microphones, from the young people at Bright Brewery.
Yeah, so it will be a two-parter. You'll hear the first half of the conversation here now as you're listening to it, and the second, slightly more slurred half of the conversation will happen on Not Too Bright. Mm. Providing that I do get around to posting the episode, I'm notoriously terrible at getting episodes out within 6 months' time, so it might be a long time between part one and part two, but I'll do my best.
So it's going to be a little bit odd from that scenario, because obviously this episode, you'll be listening to this on Thursday. And because, you know, we'll have another episode the following Thursday. So it could be sort of weird, sort of pieced together, but don't worry, everyone will promote everyone.
That's the fun of it all.
Yeah.
That's the fun of it.
It'll be a love fest. I mean, everybody will win.
Everyone's a winner.
Exactly. And we say that because we're all holding tulips full of beer.
Is this when we talk about this? Am I getting ahead of myself?
Oh, you're getting way ahead of yourself.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Steady on, buddy. So, let's talk firstly about, because obviously, you know, we have people who listen who don't necessarily follow beer as much as we do. Or perhaps they do, but they don't know much about, say, you know, what breweries exist. So, I mean, I was at Melbourne Beer Fest on the weekend, and you were there.
I was.
Ben, you weren't because you sorted off to the footy like a bastard.
Yeah, with my Carlton mid-strength.
Yeah.
Quality stuff there.
I did think about that and I thought, yeah, I'm better off here.
Poor choices.
Yeah, poor life choices.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's football at the moment.
Which
only
one?
Only the Burbs.
Okay. Oh, okay, the VFL stuff?
No, it was pre-season Carlton getting smashed. So, same as last year.
Anyway. Digressed again. I can see there's going to be a pattern this episode.
So I'm just introducing your listeners to what my podcast is like. It's tangential all over the place, so I'm sorry.
So that,
continue, Chris.
So basically the podcast that follows part two will essentially be some sort of Frank Zappa-esque jam session. Maybe think Allman Brothers.
I'm thinking Not Too Bright Beer Collective.
Hmm. No. That we have to be first because we're cooler.
Well, that will be my part. Your part will be Brunswick beer.
Brunswick beer bright.
Clearly,
or Brunswick bright.
Clearly, some workshopping needs to be done, which we should probably do off air.
Anyway, so tell the people who don't know anything whatsoever about Bright Brewery, what Bright Brewery's favourite colour would be if it could choose.
Brand orange. So Bright Brewery is a small little brewery in northeast Victoria. Bright is about 3.5 hours northeast of Melbourne at the base of the beautiful Victorian Alpine region. So we sit in the Alpine Valley on your way to Mount Hotham, to Falls Creek, the great ski Alpine resorts.
I should flag, very few people realise that James also works for the Victorian Tourism Board.
Yes.
He has been given this set of adjectives to use when mentioning his entire area on pain of death of his pet frog.
Absolutely. And look, as the marketing manager at Bright Brewery, a lot of my job for the last... almost 3 years since I've been there, it has been tourism destination marketing, because we are a tourism destination in Bright. We have a very small population of 2,000, and during peak tourism season, which is our summer and Easter, we swell to about 25,000 people. And Bright Brewery doesn't have a wholesale presence at the moment. Pretty much 85% of the beer we make at our little brewery, we sell over the bar at our own venue.
Holy crap.
So you see very little of it around.
And you sell it to actual people.
Yes, we sell to real people who come to Bright. So yeah, it very much, if you want Bright Brewery beers at the moment, you do need to come to Bright, and that's what a lot of my marketing is involved in. And we're very proud of Bright. We love Bright. That's the official hashtag for Bright, is Love Bright. Hashtag Love Bright, sorry. And it's a wonderful lifestyle. And everything about Bright Brewery is influenced by the region. So all our beers are named after geographic features. They're named after mountain features. They're named after the region or the sports that you do in the region. Our region's known for its mountain biking, its cycling, its skiing, paragliding, all that. So a lot of that is built into the heart and soul of Bright Brewery.
Though, out of curiosity, does it, would the name change? Like, for example, if you've named a beer after something you do while skiing, does that beer change to something you do while mountain bike riding in the seasons change?
No, it doesn't. But
you heard it here first. That's what Bright Brewery are going to do next.
Yeah, but certainly our beers that are more winter appropriate, like the darker, more warming beers, are certainly have a ski twist.
Why do they have to be in? I feel like you're creating an artificial barrier here. That, you know, dark beers should be enjoyed all year round.
Yeah, certainly. There was a lot of people enjoying Imperial Stouts on a hot day on Saturday at the craft beer, Melbourne Beer Festival. So I agree with
hi
that.
Hi to Melbourne Beer Festival.
Hi to Melbourne Beer Festival. So, look, I do say that, but I do need to clarify that that's all going to change next year because we have just started construction on a production brewery just around the corner.
I saw the computer-generated photos, yes?
Yes, the visualization, the plans, the architect plans of our new production brewery, which is just around the corner from our existing brewery in Bright, and that will triple our production. So we can start sending beer to the city. So hopefully, as of next year...
I just love the phrasing that you're essentially it's almost like you're getting the beer and you're giving it little backpacks and then you send it off into the city to find its fortune.
We'll jump on our bike and ride down, yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Or ski down
and
the,
ski down and hope that it finds its fortune. So absolutely. So you might not know Bright Brewery now, but hopefully you will in the next couple of years.
And you're looking at mainly Melbourne or are you
initially Melbourne, there's so much potential still around Melbourne. It's, you know, some people think there's a craft beer bubble here, but when you really look at it, there's many, many places that craft beer does not even exist in Melbourne yet. And a lot of the people who know Bright Brewery are, they're family people who come to Bright to holiday during the summer. They come to camp and they live in suburbia. And at the moment, there's not a lot of craft beer in suburbia. So I reckon we'll be aiming our beers in those pockets where... craft beers maybe not dominating quite yet.
And of course, your other main market being San Francisco.
That's absolutely true. I mean,
everyone knew. I mean, you sent me that press release, and it clearly says that Bright Brewery will be expanding to San Francisco in the next 2 years.
Simply because I want to go to San Francisco. That's exactly why. I'm looking forward to getting on the plane with a bit extra checked luggage. So I can bring back even more checked luggage.
But look, it's a lofty ambition, and look, we're all going for you here. So that's for people at home, and we're going to drink some of Bright Brewery's beers because we're at the Ale House, and they happen to have a lot of Bright Brewery's beers on tap at the moment.
And why is that?
It's some sort of high country festival.
Yeah, something Alex has dreamed up once again. Exactly. One of his wonderful, wonderful little festival events. It's called High Country Vibes, four of the high country breweries. So we're really lucky to have seven awesome breweries in northeast Victoria.
They're all mortal enemies of each other. Very
absolutely,
people know that.
We work together very closely and create the High Country Brewery Trail. We're all good mates. We all cuddle each other often. And so
it's very sweet. I didn't know I was going to go that road, but it's very sweet.
So we've got, I think, four different breweries from the High Country all dominating the taps here tonight. And Bright Brewery is one of them. Bridge Road Brewery is one of them. Black Dog Brewery and Blizzard Brewery. All the bees. You notice that? All the bees.
Why is that?
Bees. Just...
No, but nothing just happens. There's usually a reason for it. I mean, I'm not saying there's some sort of stonecutters-style Freemasons conspiracy going.
Yeah, the fuck? Illuminati. Let's blame the Illuminati. I think that's a good way to get out.
I think
of this
it's
hole.
Just Alex being slack and looking at the brews there, going and going in alphabetical order.
He found it alphabetical, didn't he? Yes.
Yeah. Alrighty, let's come back to that and let's talk about other stuff that's been happening that doesn't involve Bright Brewery. So, actually, no. Technically, this will involve Bright Brewery. So on the weekend, I was at Beer Fest, which is appropriately named mostly because it's just a festival full of beer and the occasional cider. But it was... It's always weird because obviously we were in Geelong 2 weeks ago for the Geelong Beer Festival, and I did sort of... and a few people have asked me, well, Chris, what did you think of the festival? And obviously because 2 weeks ago, we were running around with a microphone in one hand and a laptop in the other, like annoying the crap out of beer festival, like, you know, brewers. And so then that you come 2 weeks later, pretty much the same people are there with a few exceptions, and that you just run along and you're like, what the fuck's my microphone? It's sort of like you see the same that you see in the same.
So what
people.
You're trying to say is you enjoyed yourself on Saturday rather than trying
well,
to.
Well, pretty much. I mean, I was wearing an oversized hat, sunglasses, and a poncho.
It was sunny, wasn't it?
Yeah. And given I'm the palest man probably in most rooms, then if I was pretty much doused in sunscreen.
Which is why we've got you sitting in direct sunlight.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to bring that up for the listeners at home. It's pretty much, I feel like I'm ascending. That's how bright the light is. So I was at the at Brewfest, but Brewfest was really cool, mostly because there were friends who they hadn't really, or that they weren't, in, they didn't go to Geelong. They were just sort of, you know, this was like their first festival there, and that you could just sort of say, all right, you need to have this, and you need to have this, and you need to have this, and that there was just a lot of people letting their curiosity run wild, and there was enough variety there where it kind of meant, all right, I'm seeing this will be fantastic. I don't know what it's going to be, but I can afford a taster, and the tasters were really ample, which was always good. Good word to anyone working in that thing, including James, but you know, James didn't really do tasters, lazy bastard.
Yes. I hate tasters. Have a full glass. Come on, experience the glass. Experience the beer properly and enjoy it in a full glass.
The problem is that the tasters were, like the glasses were, I think 285 mil in total.
Yeah, they were plastic pop, 285.
But if you pay $2, then that you ended up getting about a little over 200 mil anyway.
It's supposed to be 100 mil pour, but it's really hard to pour 100 mils, especially when the head settles. It ends up being about 200 mils.
I mean, the world is a complicated place. So
complicated.
Cheers.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Shane.
So that was really interesting. And
I think
it was
for the number. But for the number of brewers that were there. There was probably about 40 different brewers. So if you really want to enjoy yourself at a beer festival, you have to do a taster.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're going to try, you know, at least one beer from every brewery, maybe there's plenty of breweries there that you've had everything for. Yeah. So let's talk about 30 beers from every brewer. The only way you can do it is a taster.
Or death.
Or death.
Yeah.
Or death. Yeah. Which no one did die at beer fest, so look, it was fantastic to see.
No. They would sweep it under the rug. You'd never hear about
it. They'd put up the blue screen.
Yeah. Oh god, we're in a horse racing territory. So that was my beer venture, Benjamin.
Well, yes. So I missed out on that activity on the weekend, but the weekend before I was down in Hobart, checking out what they had to offer. I was officially down there for taking my girlfriend down there for her 30th birthday. So I had to sort of just plan it out along the way where, because we should be doing things for her, but I'll be like, oh yeah, we go to dinner up here, and then just like take us a different route to go, oh look, there's a brewery here, we should definitely swing by this place and check it out. So it's quite surprised. I've heard a few things about Tassie and Hobart, especially what they had to offer, but
good things or bad things?
Good things.
Just checking, just clarifying.
Could have gone
either way.
Yeah, exactly.
For those listening from overseas, Tasmania, which is where Hobart is, that's part of Australia. As you were.
Not joined. And end up finding four breweries along the way, which is, and they're all, I suppose the different thing from Melbourne is rent, I assume, is a lot cheaper down in Hobart. Mm. So you can actually have your breweries within the city centre. Which for a tourist makes it nice and easy to get around and check them all out. Especially one of the places I found which I quite liked was called T-Bone. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of that one.
I did stumble into T-Bone in December. I did the same thing in December. My wife and I went down to Tassie and had a 2 weeks in Tassie, and we spent a few days in Hobart and we wandered around. Never heard of T-Bone before, but we were heading to Shambles Brewery. We knew of Shambles.
Yeah, I knew of that one.
And we're just walking up the hill, and all of a sudden we saw this corner bar/pub and realised it was a brewery. And it's like, oh, it's T-Bone.
And it's a great setup. I think a lot of the beers that I had in Hobart, all the breweries did, you know, your stock standard, your IPAs, your pale ales, and they all did them fairly well. So, but I felt T-Bone had a couple of different ones. They had a watermelon saison, and the, was it a choc
milk stout. They actually, they were there at Beer Fest on Saturday. And
they were going to be there, yeah.
And I had a glass of that choc milk stout, and that went down very nicely on a 30 degree day.
Yeah. And it sounds like they're taking off as well. They're starting, they just bought a canning system, I think. So they're about to start.
It doesn't everyone have a canning system?
Exactly.
I mean, I just bought a canning system. I don't even make beer.
And the interesting thing I found out about them on this weekend is that if you're into your whiskey, and if you know anything about Australian whiskey, you may have heard of Belgrove whiskey from Tasmania, which they make rye whiskey in Tasmania. And that is the father of the brewer from T-Bone. And so basically they started out brewing in his whiskey distillery setup. And they've just recently set up their own brewery. So yeah, there's a generation of alcohol creators being passed
it's
on.
It's a
down
legacy,
there.
I think.
It is a legacy. So I'm looking forward to some rye whiskey aged beers from T-Bone.
Yep, get some Imperial Stouts going with it, I reckon, be tasting good.
So I guess the moral of that story is, A, if you're planning a trip with your spouse to Tasmania, make sure that it's mapped out with the breweries in mind.
Do
your research, but don't act like you've done your research.
There's a great line. You just start at Hobart Brewing, right in the middle of Tassie. There, you walk up the road, you go to T-Bone, you get at Shambles, and my favourite place was the Winston, which is just a pub, and they brew their own beers, and that was glorious. So yes, if just go for a walk down one street, and you can hit up all those four places in Hobart, and really enjoy yourself.
And then get in an Uber and go to Preacher's and finish the night off.
Yeah,
there.
Absolutely.
That place is fantastic. Sit on the bus, have a few beers.
But I'm very envious of all of you right now.
Get down to Tassie. It's really accessible.
You know what we're doing? We're doing the whole athlon.
Yeah, we'll do the whole athlon later in the year.
Yes.
Dara, you'll get an invite. It's fine, Jen. this has been our adventure. What's been your adventure, James?
Should I
call you Jimmy?
No, definitely not. I should have prepared something for that. I know you sent me an email.
Yeah. I sent you an email. I assumed you would be hungover.
Yeah. Look, every day is an adventure for me. Actually, I'll quickly say that today we went down to Mornington Peninsula Brewery because they've just gone through a couple of years ago now. They went through a similar thing to what we're doing in regards to building a production brewery at a slightly different site to your existing brewery. So we spoke to AG, the head brewer there.
They also took up taxidermy, which very few people know.
Yeah. I didn't even know that too, and I was
nor did they.
Yeah, but they have a dog-friendly office. Their office is full of dogs, which is great to see.
That was not a fun segue. Go on.
Sorry, I am referring to the animals, not the people. And and yeah, it was just great. They're kicking goals down there at Mornington Peninsula Brewery. They're producing a lot of beer. They're getting it out to the world. They're not doing the craziest things. They're just doing really good quality drinkable beers. Having said that, their next seasonal tinage beer, which is their canned seasonal release.
I do like their...
Yeah, it's going to be a sour beer, so I'm really looking forward to a sour tinage release.
Because their Rust Bucket was superb.
Yeah, absolutely. They've done some great tinage releases. Yeah, so if you haven't visited Mornington Peninsula Brewery, whether just as a drink or as a venue recently, I definitely recommend getting down there and revisiting them.
Mornington, if you're listening, get in touch. We'd like to talk.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be... AG is a great guy to talk to about beer, so...
Well, at the very least, we'll get drunk with him.
Yes.
So, look, on that note, I think we should actually drink beer that might have been made by James at some point, or might have been made by Jimmy, his alter ego.
Maybe made by my brewer, or the brewer from Bright Brewery, Rich. So, how about I go sort that out and let's get into that.
Easy. And we are back, and we're on to beer number one. And beer number one is something that we obviously talked up briefly because, you know, it would be rude if we didn't have a Bright Brewery beer while we had someone from Bright Brewery
awkward.
Here. Yeah, it would be very hashtag awkward. Yeah. I mean, we'd kind of have no choice on the matter. It would be just sort of like us sheepishly sitting in a corner, like acting like nothing happened. So what are we drinking, James?
We are currently drinking Gravity Goza. So it's a brand new beer from Bright Brewery. It's a very limited seasonal beer. Basically, we had space in a very small tank to brew something for summer, And myself and the two brewers, we've got a head brewer and an assistant brewer, we just really wanted to do a goza for summer. There's a lot of gozas going around the craft beer industry at the moment, but not very many that are just straight gozas. They're all flavoured gozas. They're all finger lime goza, watermelon goza, mango gout goza, something something goza.
Some type of fruit.
Yeah, some type of fruit or something.
Insert fruit here.
We wanted just to do a straight traditional goza, which is essentially a German style, a really old German style. It's an unfiltered wheat beer, so 50% wheat, which a bit of a tart and salty finish. So we do actually add salt to it. We've added Murray River salt to the brew. And yeah, it's really just it's only 3.5%. It's really cleansing, a palate cleansing and refreshing for summer. And it's, you know, it's something we aimed. We've got a big cycling market in Bright.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people come to ride, whether it's road riding or mountain biking. So it's something we've kind of pitched at the cycling market to have as a refreshing beer between rides or after rides.
Or during rides.
And during rides. And because of the salt addition, you're going to get your electrolytes. So it's essentially a sports drink.
Although the worst part is whenever I think of electrolytes, I think of, has anyone seen Idiocracy? Where that it's well worth it. But it's mostly well worth it because it's set in a dystopian world, obviously, where people have got very, very dumb. And their response to everything is they can only drink it if it has electrolytes in it.
Ah, right, yes.
It's well worth watching. But in the meantime, because the one thing, okay, so this is clearly, you know, the goza of choice. But we need to find out what other people were saying about this goza. And you may not like what you hear.
Hopefully a little bit, because we did have it on tap at Beer Fest, and a lot of people were trying it and enjoying it. But let's see if anyone's actually commented on Untappd.
Well, again, this is also the sort of thing where I rely on other people to do it. Ben, how are you?
Sorry, I don't do a very good job in Jeff's absence.
Jeff and Paul's absence.
Sure.
So while you guys looking it up, I'll explain the name. Gravity is a type of mountain bike riding where you basically get a shuttle or a bus up a hill and then you go downhill using gravity. Mm. We were trying to think of a name to play on the word goza, as in goes well, anything goes down easily.
Similar to the whole I had a friend who goes off.
Yeah. Just, just silly puns, because beer names are fun with that. And then we just realised, well, gravity goes... Which way? Gravity goes down. Mm. And then we just decided...
Oh,
gravity...
so it goes down well.
Yes, gravity goes down well. So you kind of have to fill in the gaps, but hopefully people will work that out.
Yeah, well done. I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but I like it. So we have a comment from... Ben, I feel like I've just probably stolen the first one you found.
Yeah.
From... so it's from Aussie B, which is actually... I'll come to it in a second. Citrus, wheaty, salty nose and flavours... slaty malty finish. I don't know what slaty means. Very good stuff, mates. AussieBeerLover.com. I don't know who AussieBeerLover.com is. I suspect they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, he was at the beer festival on Saturday, so he gets around and tries a lot of beers, and good on him for the comment.
Yeah, and look, again, we respect anyone who has actual knowledge, because that's not something we can claim.
We could use some of that. So I'm just trying to... I've finally worked out how to use the new Untappd app to see everyone's comments.
If anyone works for Untappd, get in touch.
So I got one from Scott H saying, not overly sour, fruity then quite salty, and it's very easy to drink, which I think is spot on.
And I do have to clarify that goza isn't supposed to be a sour beer. It's not a beer that's been soured through yeast in the fermentation process. It should just be tart. So it should be salty and tart with a bit of lemon to it. So, hopefully you're not looking for specific sour notes.
I should just claim Nathan D, also at Kantani Gardens, which is obviously the St Kilda Beer Festival, just says lemon meringue, 2.75. I mean, it's a bit rude about the 2.75 because lemon meringues are kind of nice.
Saline slick and summer friendly. Has a slight lagerish finish. Good drop. What about lager? Do you think it has a lager finish to it? I don't particularly.
I wouldn't say there's a lagery finish. We'll get to what we think about it in a second.
True.
But, alright, give me one more.
Jess? I'll jump in with this one.
Go.
Jess says, solid regular goes with no weird fruity stuff or excessive salt. Nice one. 3.5. I like you, Jess. I'm going to toast you. Toast.
Yeah, I'd say that one as well. We'll toast it.
All right. I have one more. And this bastard didn't even give a freaking comment. It's James. It's from Bright Brewery. And he gave it 4.75. How fucking predictable.
I do have a rule around Untappd, but I don't know if I should explain it.
Oh, everyone has a rule around Untappd. It's kind of entertaining.
You've only just discovered it. Or not discovered it. Yeah. Joined it.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been flaunting its comments for the past 2 years or so. So, all right. Now, this is always entertaining, but it's also kind of awkward. What do we think about this?
4.75.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the first comment I read out, which was it's bloody light, tasty beer that's not too salty. I found that with some of the gozers that you get, that it's just way too much salt in, and it's not even palatable. So I think this is definitely one that you come here on a Sunday afternoon and sit down in the beer garden, it'd go down very well.
No, I agree with that. What do you give it out of five, though?
Out of five, I give it...
You can give it out of 10, but that's a lot more mathematics than mental capacity for.
I give it a 4.
4? And not just because James is at the table?
Well, because he told me if I didn't give it a 4, that, you know...
Yeah. Angry young man.
He is.
You can't see what I've got under the table.
No, yeah. it's a legitimate one. Like, it's... Yeah, I think it's a very, very tasty beer.
James, what do you give your beer?
Yeah, look, I mean...
Your personal beer. The beer that, you know... You've slaved away on that. You've sipped so many versions of.
Look, I'm happy to give it a 4. You know, officially I've given it a 4.75, but that's because I've got a rule about my beers. My Untappd rule is that if I like the beer, it's automatically a 4. I'm a bit more generous than most people, I think. If there's no faults in it, if it's enjoyable, if I definitely drink again, it's an easy 4. And this is definitely somewhere between 4 and 5. So for the sake of not fucking up your rating system on the Brunswick Beer Collective, give it a 4.
Well, by technicality, I mean...
We don't even need your review now.
Although just flagging the whole... Because obviously we go by the Christoph rule.
Of course.
The Would Drink Again beers are 3.75. Sorry, it's 3.5. Which, you know, it's served us well for this, past millennium. But for me... I mean, I really like it. It reminds me a lot of... It's that same feeling from the... I've spoke about a week or two ago about the guava goza from Four Pints.
Yes.
Which, obviously, it has guava in it, but it was like that ultimate... I could drink 1,000 of these and really not be upset with the world.
Yes.
So, for me, this is a 3.75.
Fantastic.
It's but on the average, that means it's going to be a 4. Bastards.
Even better.
And I think it's... I mean... It's just a good solid beer, and if it's on, I would drink it. Yeah. Simple as that. I mean, if you guys had like actual distribution outside of the brewery, I mean, that would make things so much easier.
That's coming next year.
Plug. On that note, we should finish these up and move on to another beer that probably won't be made specifically by Bright. And as if we run on a schedule, we're on to beer number 2. And beer number 2 is something that, well, this is like one of those... All right, so you guys remember that whole, the supergroups that you'd have with bands, you know? You had, like, you know, Audioslave, the Travelling Wilburys.
Well,
I wanted to say the Travelling Wilburys first, but I thought...
Them Crooked Vultures.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great album.
What was the Aussie one?
There was an Aussie one?
The Aussie one with,
like, the guys who did, like, Evie?
The Little Seavies.
Yeah, is that what they call themselves? Yeah. Yep.
Okay, imagine that. Now tone that down a lot. And now imagine it's several breweries that are set in, like, high country Victoria.
And Alex,
who is obviously the czar of the ale house. And then you have what we have right now. And this is the Flying Solo. And it's from... All right, it's set apparently from Black Dog Brewery, who... Does Black Dog exist? Is that real?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so
Black the bees.
Of course.
Black Dog Brewery is James Booth, who is also a wine... Boothie indeed, who is also a winemaker.
We don't know who you are.
Maker.
Hi, James.
And he his family has Tamanik Winery or Tamanik Cellars. I forget the name of the actual winery, but it's located just outside of Glen Rowan on your way up to the High Country and into just before Wangaratta. Beautiful little setup. If you've never been to Black Dog, definitely go there. He makes some fantastic beers. He puts his beers in cans. And he has before he had his current beautiful brew house, Italian-made brew house that he has at the moment, he had a nice little classic, I think it was a 75-litre three-pot vessel system, like super advanced homebrew, which he started on. And he uses that for pilot batches and experimental brews these days. And he made this. A couple of the breweries from the High Country, ourselves, Bridge Road, Blizzard Brewery, and the Ale House guys here all collaborated on a bit of a recipe. We decided on a Belgian red ale using a Trappist yeast. So it's actually nice and dark and malty.
I should flag, I'd like to think they decided on a red ale because I'm a regular here.
That too. We all knew that Chris was going to be drinking this, so we had to make it nice and red.
I mean, as some rules are just obvious.
Yeah. And everything was working perfectly, but then Shane threw a spanner in the works and it all fell apart because they couldn't find accommodation to come up for the collaboration brew.
It sounds about right.
It's because someone booked the cottage.
So someone booked the cottage. It was
what bastards. And it worked out well.
They were trying to make money out of it. Well, actually, they made money instead of letting us stay there.
Oh.
Go away. You're off mic. Can't hear you.
Look, I'll enhance the audio.
Sorry, Shane.
I blame...
Yeah, it was my fault.
Look, we all blame Bright. It's
actually,
like.
No, I'll put it in. I blame Bridge Road.
Yeah, well, let's blame that too. Let's blame all the breweries. In the end, we were supposed to all gather on the same day and brew it together in the same place. Didn't quite work that out that way. So we all collaborated on the idea and the concept, but in the end, it was brewed solo by James Booth, which is why it's called Flying Solo.
And the worst part is, of course, like you had gone out of your way to make kombucha.
I just wanted to spend a day at Black Dog Brewery, just kicking back and watching guys brew while I took some photos and drank some beers. But unfortunately, that all fell apart. So.
And listening to supergroups.
Yeah,
listening to supergroups.
Actually, that would be awesome if you just had on the background like an endless medley of supergroups.
Oh well, look, our brewer Rich is a metalhead and loves some heavy rock in the brew house. So there's a lot of supergroups in the metal world, and I'm sure he would really appreciate that.
Right. Look, that's something that we can maybe set up for another time. But let's talk about this beer. What do we think, people?
It's malty.
Benjamin?
Even though I've had about five sips already, I'm just going to give another one. Yeah, I... To be honest, I'm not usually a Belgian-style drinker. It still is a red ale, so it's still tasting pretty delicious. And I think, for a Belgian style, it's definitely on the better side. and I think I'll give this one a 3.75.
3.75. I should flag that we would actually offer what other people were saying about it, except it's only just went on tap around about... 2 or 3 hours ago.
I'm pretty sure this is a single keg release, so this is your only chance to get it. Come down here to the Ale House this week. So this goes out on Thursday, does it?
The reality is, it'll probably be gone by then. But just imagine that you're drinking it.
Two pots remaining.
As soon as you download this episode, head straight to the Ale House.
Doesn't matter if it's 9 a.m.
Yes,
just wait out the front until it's open.
I think it's got a nice level of toast, I might call it. It's at the back of the malt sweetness. James Booth did say it is a Trappist yeast that will actually take time to develop. So this will taste better and better the longer it lasts.
Except it's not going to last. Yeah.
It's not going to last. Maybe he snuck away some in a barrel. Yeah. Who knows? But I'm certainly enjoying it. It's again a straight up 4 for me. Do I have to go official untapped scale, or can I throw in?
No, it has to be official untapped.
So I can't. I can't go 4.15.
No, dude. This is the the industry standard.
You can ask Untappd to change the rating system again.
I just really like that the new Untappd lets you put in what style size. Serve. Yeah. No, what style serve? Mm. If you had a draft, can, bottle, because that's or good to remember. Or, like, yeah, taster. So 4.25 from me. I love red ales. I love Belgium ales. And I think this is really, really tasty.
There are a lot of fine adjectives going on there. Look, I think this is a really, really good beer, and it's really simple, but it really works. I'm definitely going with 4 for this, just because it's worthy of a 4.
And just because your rating will be the one that lasts.
Yes, finally!
The one that we take.
So I'm going with 4 for this. And on that note, because, you know, you've probably got to where you're aiming to be now, perhaps it's work, perhaps it's just some sort of to the next bar. Either way.
Perhaps you need another hour of this.
Yeah. Because if you do, then I suppose it will roll into being tuning into Not Too Bright, which will probably happen, and let's be honest, it'll go online in maybe a year from now.
Maybe a year. You'll hear a very rude story from Ben.
Yeah. Incredibly rude. The sort of thing that we can't do on this show because we're nice.
Yes. And I always have an explicit rating on Not Too Bright.
Yeah.
Look out for it.
With that in mind, keep a lookout for it. You know, watch for the sign, Batman style.
So it will be episode 24 of Not Too Bright. So if anyone's interested, pop on to www.nottoobright.com.
And that's TWU.
Yes.
Sorry, TWO.
That's, yes.
And or TWU.
Not two, because it is normally two people, so TWO, and thanks to Luke from Owl of the Time for officially naming that. And you'll be able to listen to the second half of this conversation. Mm. I say listen, it might be a difficult listen because we might be saying a lot of stuff that no one can understand. Because these beers are going down very quickly.
That's true, but this feels about normal. On that note, so basically you'll hear, if you track down this episode when it finally appears on James' shores in who knows how long, then that you'll basically hear Brunswick Beer Collective After Dark.
Ooh,
so
sexy.
I know. I'm, you know, strapless lingerie all the way. So on that note, we will leave everyone there.
I wondered why there was nipple showing.
We have been the Brunswick Beer Collective, plus James from Bright Brewery.
Hello.
And we will talk to you all next week.